If you don't do this naturally, find a partner who pushes you from theory to practice, from thinking to doing. This person will help ensure that your analysis doesn't turn into paralysis. Take an academic course that will expand your analytical talents. Specifically, study people whose logic you admire. Volunteer your analytical talents. You can be particularly helpful to those who are struggling to organize large quantities of data or having a hard time bringing structure to their ideas. Partner with someone with strong activator talents. This person's impatience will move you more quickly through the analytical phase into the action phase. You may remain skeptical until you see solid proof. Your skepticism ensures validity, but others may take it personally. Help others realize that your skepticism is primarily about data, not people. Look for patterns in data. See if you can discern a motif, precedent, or relationship in scores or numbers. By connecting the dots in the data and inferring a causal link, you may be able to help others see these patterns. Help others understand that your analytical approach will often require data and other information to logically back up new ideas that they might suggest. Working with others who have analytical. Whenever this person is involved with an important decision, take time to think through the issues with her. She will want to know all the key factors involved. When you are defending a decision or a principle, show this person the supporting numbers. She instinctively gives more credibility to information that displays numbers. Because accuracy is so important to this person, getting a task done correctly may be more important to her than meeting a deadline. Therefore, as the deadline draws near, keep checking in with her to make sure that she has the necessary time to do the job right. Arranger. You are a conductor. When faced with a complex situation involving many factors, you enjoy managing all of the variables, aligning and realigning them until you are sure you have arranged them in the most productive configuration possible. In your mind, there is nothing special about what you are doing. You are simply trying to figure out the best way to get things done. But others, lacking this theme, will be in awe of your ability. How can you keep so many things in your head at once, they will ask. How can you stay so flexible, so willing to shelve well-laid plans in favor of some brand new configuration that has just occurred to you? But you cannot imagine behaving in any other way. You are a shining example of effective flexibility. Whether you are changing travel schedules at the last minute because a better fare has popped up, or mulling over just the right combination of people and resources to accomplish a new project. From the mundane to the complex, you are always looking for the perfect configuration. Of course, you are at your best in dynamic situations. Confronted with the unexpected, some complain that plans devised with such care cannot be changed, while others take refuge in the existing rules or procedures. You don't do either. Instead, you jump into the confusion, devising new options, hunting for new paths of least resistance, and figuring out new partnerships. Because, after all, there might just be a better way. Arranger sounds like this. Sarah P., Finance Executive. I love really complicated challenges where I have to think on my feet and figure out how all the pieces fit together. Some people look at a situation, see 30 variables, and get hung up trying to balance all 30. When I look at the same situation, I see about 3 options. And because I see only 3, it's easier for me to make a decision and then put everything into place. Grant D., Operations Manager. I got a message the other day from our manufacturing facility saying that demand for one of our products had greatly exceeded the forecast. I thought about it for a moment, and then an idea popped into my head. Ship the product weekly, not monthly. So I said, let's contact our European subsidiaries, ask them what their demand is, tell them the situation we are in, and then ask what their weekly demand is. That way we can meet requirements without building up our inventory. Sure, it'll drive shipping costs up, but that's better than having too much inventory in one place and not enough in another. Jane B., entrepreneur. Sometimes, for instance, when we are all going to a movie or a football game, this arranger theme drives me up the wall. My family and friends come to rely on me. Jane will get the tickets. Jane will organize the transportation. Why should I always have to do it? But they just say, because you do it well. For us, it would take half an hour. For you, it seems to go much faster. You just call up the ticket place, order the right tickets, and just like that, it's done. Ideas for action. Learn the goals of your coworkers and friends. Let them know that you are aware of their goals, and then help set them up for success. If a team needs to be created, make sure you are involved. You recognize talents, skills, and knowledge in people, and that awareness will help you get the right people in the right spots. You intuitively sense how very different people can work together. Take a close look at groups with divergent personalities and opinions, as they may have the greatest need for your arranger talents. Be sure to keep track of ongoing deadlines for your many tasks, projects, and obligations. Although you enjoy the chance to juggle lots of activities, others with less powerful arranger talents may become anxious if they don't see you working on their projects frequently. Inform them of your progress to ease their fears. Seek complex, dynamic environments in which there are few routines. Take on the organization of a big event, a convention, a large party, or a company celebration. Give people time to understand your way of doing things when you present it to them. Your mental juggling is instinctive, but others might find it difficult to break with existing procedures. Take the time to clearly explain why your way can be more effective. At work, focus your arranger talents on the most dynamic areas of your organization. Divisions or departments that are static and routine in nature are likely to bore you. You will thrive when your arranger talents are energized, and you will suffer when you are bored. Help others see your far-reaching expertise by sharing your what-if thinking with them. When they know you've identified and carefully considered all possible options and arrangements, they'll feel more confident. You are flexible in the way you organize people, as well as in how you configure space. Figure out how you can improve workflow by rearranging spaces and/or procedures to maximize efficiency and to free up time for you and for others. Working with others who have arranger. This person is excited by complex, multifaceted assignments. He will thrive in situations in which he has many things going on at the same time. When you are launching a project, ask this person for help in positioning the members of the project team. He is good at figuring out how each person's strengths might add greatest value to the team. This person can be resourceful. Feel confident that if something is not working, he will enjoy figuring out other ways of doing things. Belief. If you possess a strong belief theme, you have certain core values that are enduring. These values vary from one person to another, but ordinarily your belief theme causes you to be family-oriented, altruistic, even spiritual, and to value responsibility and high ethics, both in yourself and others. These core values affect your behavior in many ways. They give your life meaning and satisfaction. In your view, success is more than money and prestige. They provide you with direction, guiding you through the temptations and distractions of life toward a consistent set of priorities. This consistency is the foundation for all your relationships. Your friends call you dependable. I know where you stand, they say. Your belief makes you easy to trust. It also demands that you find work that meshes with your values. Your work must be meaningful. It must matter to you. And guided by your belief theme, it will matter only if it gives you a chance to live out your values. Belief sounds like this. Michael K., salesperson. The vast majority of my non-working time goes to my family and to the things we do in the community. I was on the countywide Boy Scouts board of directors, and when I was a Boy Scout, I was pack leader. When I was an explorer, I was junior assistant leader for the Boy Scouts. I just like being with kids. I believe that's where the future is, and I think you can do a whole lot worse with your time than investing it in the future. Laura M., college president. My values are why I work so hard every day at my job. I put hours and hours into this job, and I don't even care what I get paid. I just found out that I am the lowest paid college president in my state, and I don't even care. I mean, I don't do this for the money. Tracy D., airline executive. If you are not doing something important, why bother? Getting up every day and working on ways to make flying safer seems important to me. Purposeful. If I didn't find this purpose in my job, I don't know if I could work through all the challenges and frustrations that get in my way. I think I would get demoralized. Ideas for action. Clarify your values by thinking about one of your best days ever. How did your values play into the satisfaction that you received on that day? How can you organize your life to repeat that day as often as possible? Actively seek roles that fit your values. In particular, think about joining organizations that define their purpose by the contribution they make to society. The meaning and purpose of your work will often provide direction for others. Remind people why their work is important and how it makes a difference in their lives and in the lives of others. Your belief talents allow you to talk to the hearts of people. Develop a purpose statement and communicate it to your family, friends, and coworkers. Your powerful emotional appeal can give them a motivating sense of contribution. Create a gallery of letters and/or pictures of the people whose lives you have substantially influenced. When you are feeling down or overwhelmed, remind yourself of your value by looking at this gallery. It will energize you and revive your commitment to helping others. Set aside time to ensure that you are balancing your work demands and your personal life. Your devotion to your career should not come at the expense of your strong commitment to your family. Don't be afraid to give voice to your values. This will help others know who you are and how to relate to you. Actively cultivate friends who share your basic values. Consider your best friend. Does this person share your value system? Partner with someone who has strong, futuristic talents. This person can energize you by painting a vivid picture of the direction in which your values will lead. Accept that the values of other people might differ from your own. Express your beliefs without being judgmental. Working with others who have belief. This person is likely to be very passionate about the things closest to her heart. Discover that passion and help her connect it to the work she has to do. Learn about this person's family and community. She will have made rock-solid commitments to them. Understand, appreciate, and honor these commitments, and she will respect you for it. You do not have to share this person's belief system, but you do have to understand it, respect it, and apply it. Otherwise, major conflicts will eventually erupt. Command. Command leads you to take charge. Unlike some people, you feel no discomfort with imposing your views on others. On the contrary, once your opinion is formed, you need to share it with others. Once your goal is set, you feel restless until you have aligned others with you. You are not frightened by confrontation. Rather, you know that confrontation is the first step toward resolution. Whereas others may avoid facing up to life's unpleasantness, you feel compelled to present the facts or the truth, no matter how unpleasant it may be. You need things to be clear between people and challenge them to be clear-eyed and honest. You push them to take risks. You may even intimidate them. And while some may resent this, labeling you opinionated, they often willingly hand you the reins. People are drawn toward those who take a stance and ask them to move in a certain direction. Therefore, people will be drawn to you. You have presence. You have command. Command sounds like this. Malcolm M., Hospitality Manager. One reason I affect people is that I am so candid. Actually, people say that I intimidate them at first. After I work with them a year, we talk about that sometimes. They say, "Boy, Malcolm, when I started working here, I was scared to death." When I ask why, they say, "I've never worked with anyone who just said it. Whatever it was, whatever needed to be said, you just said it." Rick P., Retail Executive. We have a wellness program whereby if you consume less than 4 alcoholic beverages a week, you get $25. If you don't smoke, you get $25 a month. So one day I got word that one of my store managers was smoking again. This was not good. He was smoking in the store, setting a bad example for the employees, and claiming his $25. I just can't keep stuff like that inside. It wasn't comfortable, but I confronted him with it immediately and clearly. "Stop doing that, or you are fired." He's basically a good guy, but you can't let things like that slide. Diane N., Hospice Worker. I don't think of myself as assertive, but I do take charge. When you walk into a room with a dying person and his family, you have to take charge. They want you to take charge. They are a bit in shock, a bit frightened, a bit in denial. Basically, they're confused. They need someone to tell them what is going to happen next, what they can expect. That it's not going to be fun, but that in some important ways it will be all right. They don't want mousy and soft. They want clarity and honesty. I provide it. Ideas for action. You will always be ready to confront. Practice the words, the tone, and the techniques that will turn your ability to confront into real persuasiveness. In your relationships, seize opportunities to speak plainly and directly about sensitive subjects. Your unwillingness to hide from the truth can become a source of strength and constancy for your colleagues and friends. Strive to become known as a candid person. Ask people for their opinions. Sometimes your candor will be intimidating, causing others to tread lightly for fear of your reaction. Watch for this. If necessary, explain that you are upfront simply because it feels uncomfortable to keep things bottled up, not because you want to frighten other people into silence. Partner with someone with strong woo or empathy talents. Some obstacles do not need to be confronted. They can be circumvented. This person can help you avoid obstacles through relationships. Your take-charge attitude steadies and reassures others in times of crisis. When faced with a particularly trying challenge, use your command talents to assuage others' fears and convince them you have things under control. Your command talents might compel you to wrestle for the reins of power because you love being in the driver's seat. But remember that even when you are not formally in charge, your presence can be an unseen yet powerfully felt force. Step up and break bottlenecks. Others count on your natural decisiveness to get things moving. When you remove roadblocks, you often create new momentum and success that would not have existed without you. Consider taking the lead on a committee. You have definite ideas about what you would like to see happen, and you can naturally influence a group to follow you. You might be comfortable spearheading new initiatives. Seek roles in which you will be asked to persuade others. Consider whether selling would be a good career for you. Find a cause you believe in and support it. You might discover yourself at your best when defending a cause in the face of resistance. Working with others who have command. Always ask this person for evaluations of what's happening in your organization. He is likely to give you a straight answer. In the same vein, look to him to raise ideas that are different from your own. He isn't likely to be a head nodder. When you need to jar a project loose and get things moving again, or when people need to be persuaded, look to this person to take charge. Never threaten this person unless you are 100% ready to follow through. Communication. You like to explain, to describe, to host, to speak in public, and to write. This is your communication theme at work. Ideas are a dry beginning. Events are static. You feel a need to bring them to life, to energize them, to make them exciting and vivid. And so you turn events into stories and practice telling them. You take the dry idea and enliven it with images and examples and metaphors. You believe that most people have a very short attention span. They are bombarded by information, but very little of it survives. You want your information, whether an idea, an event, a product's features and benefits, a discovery, or a lesson, to survive. You want to divert their attention toward you and then capture it, lock it in. This is what drives your hunt for the perfect phrase. This is what draws you toward dramatic words and powerful word combinations. This is why people like to listen to you. Your word pictures pique their interest, sharpen their world, and inspire them to act. Communication sounds like this. Sheila Kay, General Manager of a theme park. Stories are the best way to make my point. Yesterday, I wanted to show my executive committee the impact we can have on our guests, so I shared this story with them. One of our employees brought her father to the flag-raising ceremony we have for Veterans Day here at the theme park. He was disabled during World War II, and he now has a rare form of cancer and has had a lot of surgery. He's dying. At the start of the ceremony, one of our employees said to the group, "This man is a World War II veteran. Can we give him a hand?" Everybody cheered, and his daughter started crying. Her dad took off his hat. He never takes off his hat because of the scars on his head from the war and the cancer surgery. But when the national anthem started, he took off his hat and bowed his head. His daughter told me later that it was the best day he's had in years. Tom P., Banking Executive. My most recent client thought that the flow of capital toward internet stocks was just a passing phase. I tried using a rational argument to change his mind, but he couldn't or wouldn't be convinced. In the end, as I often do when faced with a client in denial, I resorted to imagery. I told him that he was like a person sitting on a beach with his back to the sea. The internet was like a fast rising tide. No matter how comfortable he felt right now, the tide was rising with each crashing wave, and very soon one of those waves would come crashing down over his head and engulf him. He got the point. Margaret D., Marketing Director. I once read a book about giving speeches that gave two suggestions. Talk only about things you're really passionate about, and always use personal examples. I immediately started doing that, and I found lots of stories because I have kids and grandkids and a husband. I build my stories around my personal experiences because everyone can relate to them. Ideas for action. You will always do well in roles that require you to capture people's attention. Think about a career in teaching, sales, marketing, ministry, or the media. Your communication talents are likely to flourish in these areas. Start a collection of stories or phrases that resonate with you. For example, cut out magazine articles that move you or write down powerful word combinations. Practice telling these stories or saying these words out loud by yourself. Listen to yourself actually saying the words. Refine. When you are presenting, pay close attention to your audience. Watch their reactions to each part of your presentation. You will notice that some parts are especially engaging. Afterwards, take time to identify the moments that particularly caught the audience's attention. Draft your next presentation around these highlights. Practice. Improvisation has a certain appeal, but in general, an audience will respond best to a presenter who knows where he or she is headed. Counterintuitively, the more prepared you are, the more natural your improvisations will appear. Identify your most beneficial sounding boards and audiences, the listeners who seem to bring out your best communication. Examine these individuals or groups to learn why you are so good when you speak with them or to them, and look for the same qualities in potential partners and audiences. Keep getting smarter about the words you use. They are a critical currency. Spend them wisely and monitor their impact. Your communication talents can be highly effective when your message has substance. Don't rely on your talents alone. Take your communication to the level of strength by developing your knowledge and expertise in specific areas. You are gifted in fostering dialogue among peers and colleagues. Use your communication talents to summarize the various points in a meeting and to build consensus by helping others see what they have in common. If you enjoy writing, consider publishing your work. If you enjoy public speaking, make a presentation at a professional meeting or convention. In either case, your communication talents will serve to assist you in finding just the right way to frame your ideas and state your purpose. You delight in sharing your thoughts with others, so find the medium that best fits your voice and message. Volunteer for opportunities to present. You can become known as someone who helps people express their thoughts and ambitions in a captivating way. Working with others who have communication. This person finds it easy to carry on a conversation. Ask her to come to social gatherings, dinners, or any events where you want to entertain prospects or customers. Take the time to hear about this person's life and experiences. She will enjoy telling you, and you will enjoy listening. And your relationship will be closer because of it. Discuss plans for your organization's social events with this person. She is likely to have good ideas both for entertainment and for what should be communicated at the event. Competition. Competition is rooted in comparison. When you look at the world, you are instinctively aware of other people's performance. Their performance is the ultimate yardstick. No matter how hard you tried, no matter how worthy your intentions, if you reached your goal but did not outperform your peers, the achievement feels hollow. Like all competitors, you need other people. You need to compare. If you can compare, you can compete. And if you can compete, you can win. And when you win, there is no feeling quite like it. You like measurement because it facilitates comparisons. You like other competitors because they invigorate you. You like contests because they must produce a winner. You particularly like contests where you know you have the inside track to be the winner. Although you are gracious to your fellow competitors and even stoic in defeat, you don't compete for the fun of competing. You compete to win. Over time, you will come to avoid contests where winning seems unlikely. Competition sounds like this. Mark L., sales executive. I've played sports my entire life, and I don't just play to have fun, let me put it that way. I like to engage in sports I'm going to win and not ones I'm going to lose, because if I lose, I am outwardly gracious, but inwardly infuriated. Harry D., general manager. I'm not a big sailor, but I love the America's Cup. Both boats are supposed to be exactly the same, and both crews have top-notch athletes. But you always get a winner. One of them had some secret up their sleeves that tipped the balance and enabled them to win more often than lose. And that's what I am looking for, that secret, that tiny edge. Sumner Redstone, chairman of Viacom, now known as CBS Corporation, on his efforts to acquire that company. I relished every minute of it because Viacom was a company worth fighting for, and I enjoyed a contest. If you get involved in a major competitive struggle and the stress that inevitably comes with it, you'd better derive some real sense of satisfaction and enjoyment from the ultimate victory. Wrestling control of a company like Viacom was warfare. I believe the real lesson it taught me was that it is not about money, it's about the will to win. Ideas for action. Select work environments in which you can measure your achievements. You might not be able to discover how good you can be without competing. List the performance scores that help you know where you stand every day. What scores should you pay attention to? Identify a high-achieving person against whom you can measure your own achievement. If there is more than one, list all the people with whom you currently compete. Without measurement, how will you know if you won? Try to turn ordinary tasks into competitive games. You will get more done this way. When you win, take the time to investigate why you won. You can learn a great deal more from a victory than from a loss. Let people know that being competitive does not equate with putting others down. Explain that you derive satisfaction from pitting yourself against good, strong competitors and winning. Develop a balanced metric, a measurement system that will monitor all aspects of your performance. Even if you are competing against your own previous numbers, this measurement will help you give proper attention to all aspects of your performance. When competing with others, create development opportunities by choosing to compare yourself to someone who is slightly above your current level of expertise. Your competition will push you to refine your skills and knowledge to exceed those of that person. Look one or two levels above you for a role model who will push you to improve. Take the time to celebrate your wins. In your world, there is no victory without celebration. Design some mental strategies that can help you deal with a loss. Armed with these strategies, you will be able to move on to the next challenge much more quickly. Working with others who have competition. Use competitive language with this person. It is a win-lose world for him. So from his perspective, achieving a goal is winning and missing a goal is losing. Help this person find places where he can win. If he loses repeatedly, he may stop playing. Remember, in the contests that matter to him, he doesn't compete for the fun of it. He competes to win. When this person loses, he may need to mourn for a while. Let him. Then help him quickly move into another opportunity to win. Connectedness. Things happen for a reason. You are sure of it. You are sure of it because in your soul you know that we are all connected. Yes, we are individuals, responsible for our own judgments and in possession of our own free will, but nonetheless, we are part of something larger. Some may call it the collective unconscious. Others may label it spirit or life force. But whatever your word of choice, you gain confidence from knowing that we are not isolated from one another or from the earth and the life on it. This feeling of connectedness implies certain responsibilities. If we are all part of a larger picture, then we must not harm others because we will be harming ourselves. We must not exploit because we will be exploiting ourselves. Your awareness of these responsibilities creates your value system. You are considerate, caring, and accepting. Certain of the unity of humankind, you are a bridge builder for people of different cultures. Sensitive to the invisible hand, you can give others comfort that there is a purpose beyond our humdrum lives. The exact articles of your faith will depend on your upbringing and your culture, but your faith is strong. It sustains you and your close friends in the face of life's mysteries. Connectedness sounds like this. Mandy M., homemaker. Humility is the essence of connectedness. You have to know who you are and who you aren't. I have a piece of the wisdom. I don't have much of it, but what I do have is real. This isn't grandiosity. This is real humility. You have confidence in your gifts, real confidence, but you know you don't have all the answers. You start to feel connected to others because you know they have wisdom that you don't. You can't feel connected if you think you have everything. Rose T., psychologist. Sometimes I look at my bowl of cereal in the morning and think about those hundreds of people who were involved in bringing me my bowl of cereal. The farmers in the field, the biochemists who made the pesticides, the warehouse workers at the food preparation plants, even the marketers who somehow persuaded me to buy this box of cereal and not a different one sitting next to it on the shelf. I know it sounds strange, but I give thanks to these people, and just doing that makes me feel more involved with life, more connected to things, less alone. Chuck M., teacher. I tend to be very black and white about things. But when it comes to understanding the mysteries of life, for some reason, I am much more open. I have a big interest in learning about all different religions. I am reading a book right now that talks about Judaism versus Christianity versus the religion of the Canaanites. Buddhism, Greek mythology. It's really interesting how all of these tie together in some way. Ideas for action. Consider roles in which you listen and counsel. You can become adept at helping other people see connection and purpose in everyday occurrences. Explore specific ways to expand your sense of connection, such as starting a book club, attending a retreat, or joining an organization that puts connectedness into practice. Within your organization, help your colleagues understand how their efforts fit in the larger picture. You can be a leader in building teams and helping people feel important. You are aware of the boundaries and borders created within organizations and communities, but you treat these as seamless and fluid. Use your connectedness talents to break down silos that prevent shared knowledge. Help people see the connections among their talents, their actions, their mission, and their successes. When people believe in what they are doing and feel like they are part of something bigger, commitment to achievement is enhanced. Partner with someone with strong communication talents. This person can help you with the words you need to describe vivid examples of connection in the real world. Don't spend too much time attempting to persuade others to see the world as a linked web. Be aware that your sense of connection is intuitive. If others don't share your intuition, rational argument will not persuade them. Your philosophy of life compels you to move beyond your own self-interests and the interests of your immediate constituency and sphere of influence. As such, you see the broader implications for your community and the world. Explore ways to communicate these insights to others. Seek out global or cross-cultural responsibilities that capitalize on your understanding of the commonalities inherent in humanity. Build universal capability and change the mindset of those who think in terms of us and them. Connectedness talents can help you look past the outer shell of a person to embrace his or her humanity. Be particularly aware of this when you work with someone whose background is very different from yours. You can naturally look past the labels and focus on his or her essential needs. Working with others who have connectedness. This person will likely have social issues that she will defend strongly. Listen closely to know what inspires this passion in her. Your acceptance of these issues will influence the depth of the relationship you can build with her. Encourage this person to build bridges to the different groups in your organization. She naturally thinks about how things are connected, so she should excel at showing different people how each relies on the others. If you also have dominant connectedness talents, share articles, writings, and experiences with this person. You can reinforce each other's focus. Consistency. Balance is important to you. You are keenly aware of the need to treat people the same, no matter what their station in life. So you do not want to see the scales tipped too far in any one person's favor. In your view, this leads to selfishness and individualism. It leads to a world where some people gain an unfair advantage because of their connections or their background or their greasing of the wheels. This is truly offensive to you. You see yourself as a guardian against it. In direct contrast to this world of special favors, you believe that people function best in a consistent environment where the rules are clear and are applied to everyone equally. This is an environment where people know what is expected. It is predictable and even-handed. It is fair. Here, each person has an even chance to show his or her worth. Consistency sounds like this. Simon H., Hotel General Manager. I often remind my senior managers that they shouldn't be abusing their parking privileges or using their position to take golf tee times when there are guests waiting. They hate my drawing attention to this, but I am just the kind of person who dislikes people abusing their perks. I also spend a great deal of time with our hourly employees. I have tremendous respect for them. Jamie K., Magazine Editor. I am the person who always roots for the underdog. I hate it when people don't get a fair shot because of some circumstance in their life that they couldn't control. To put some teeth to this, I am going to set up a scholarship at my alma mater so that journalism students of limited means can do internships in the real world without having to keep paying for their college tuition. I was lucky. When I was an intern in New York at NBC, my family could afford it. Some families can't. But those students should still get a fair shot. Ben F., Operations Manager. Always give credit where credit is due, that's my motto. If I am in a meeting and I bring up an idea that one of my staff actually came up with, I make sure to publicly attribute the idea to that person. Why? Because my bosses always did that with me, and now it seems like the only fair and proper thing to do. Ideas for action. Make a list of the rules of consistency by which you can live. These rules might be based on certain values that you have or on certain policies that you consider non-negotiables. Counterintuitively, the more clear you are about these rules, the more comfortable you will be with individuality within these boundaries. Seek roles in which you can be a force for leveling the playing field. At work or in your community, become a leader in helping provide disadvantaged people with the platform they need to show their true potential. Cultivate a reputation for pinpointing those who really deserve credit. Make sure that respect is always given to those who truly performed the work. You can become known as the conscience of your organization or group. Find a role in which you can enforce compliance to a set of standards. Always be ready to challenge people who break the rules or grease the wheels to earn an unfair advantage for themselves. Keep your focus on performance. Your consistency talents might occasionally lead you to overemphasize how someone gets work done and ignore what he or she gets done. Because you value equality, you find it hard to deal with individuals who bend the rules to fit their situation. Your consistency talents can help you clarify rules, policies, and procedures in ways that will ensure that they are applied uniformly across the board. Consider drafting protocols to make sure that these rules are clearly stated. Partner with someone with powerful maximizer or individualization talents. This person can remind you when it is appropriate to accommodate individual differences. Always practice what you preach. This sets the tone for equality and encourages peaceful compliance. Others will appreciate your natural commitment to consistency between what you have promised and what you will deliver. Always stand up for what you believe, even in the face of strong resistance. You will reap long-lasting benefits. Leverage your consistency talents when you have to communicate not-so-pleasant news. You can be naturally adept at helping others appreciate the rationale behind decisions, which will make the situation easier on them and you. Working with others who have consistency. Be supportive of this person during times of great change because she is most comfortable with predictable patterns that she knows work well. This person has a practical bent and thus will tend to prefer getting tasks accomplished and decisions made rather than doing more abstract work such as brainstorming or long-range planning. When it comes time to recognize others after the completion of a project, ask this person to pinpoint everyone's contributions. She will make sure that each person receives the accolades he or she truly deserves. Context. You look back. You look back because that is where the answers lie. You look back to understand the present. From your vantage point, the present is unstable, a confusing clamor of competing voices. It is only by casting your mind back to an earlier time, a time when the plans were being drawn up, that the present regains its stability. The earlier time was a simpler time. It was a time of blueprints. As you look back, you begin to see these blueprints emerge. You realize what the initial intentions were. These blueprints, or intentions, have since become so embellished that they are almost unrecognizable, But now this context theme reveals them again. This understanding brings you confidence. No longer disoriented, you make better decisions because you sense the underlying structure. You become a better partner because you understand how your colleagues came to be who they are. And counterintuitively, you become wiser about the future because you saw its seeds being sown in the past. Faced with new people and new situations, it will take you a little time to orient yourself, but you must give yourself this time. You must discipline yourself to ask the questions and allow the blueprints to emerge, because no matter what the situation, if you haven't seen the blueprints, you will have less confidence in your decisions. Context sounds like this. Adam Y., software designer. I tell my people, let's avoid Vujade, and they say, isn't that the wrong word? Shouldn't it be déjà vu? And I say, no, Vujade means that we're bound to repeat the mistakes of our past. We must avoid this. We must look to our past, see what led to our mistakes, and then not make them again. It sounds obvious, but most people don't look to their past or don't trust that it was valid or something. And so for them, it's Vujade all over again. Jesse K., media analyst. I have very little empathy, so I don't relate to people through their present emotional state. Instead, I relate to them through their past. In fact, I can't even begin to understand people until I have found out where they grew up, what their parents were like, and what they studied in college. Greg H., accounting manager. I recently moved the whole office to a new accounting system, and the only reason it worked was that I honored their past. When people build an accounting system, it's their blood, sweat, and tears. It's them. They are personally identified with it. So if I come in and blandly tell them that I'm going to change it, it's like me saying, I'm going to take your baby away. That's the level of emotion I was dealing with. I had to respect this connection, this history, or they would have rejected me out of hand. Ideas for action. Before planning begins on a project, encourage the people involved to study past projects. Help them appreciate the statement, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." If you are in a role that requires teaching others, build your lessons around case studies. You will enjoy the search for the appropriate case, and your students will learn from these precedents. Use your understanding of the past to help others map the future. At work, help your organization strengthen its culture via folklore. For example, collect symbols and stories that represent the best of the past, or suggest naming an award after a person who embodied the historical traditions of your organization. Partner with someone with strong futuristic or strategic talents. This person's fascination with what could be will stop you from becoming mired in the past, while your deep understanding of context will stop him or her from ignoring the lessons of the past. Together, you are more likely to create something that lasts. Accept change. Remember that your context talents do not require you to live in the past. Instead, you can actually become known as an active agent for positive change. Your natural sense of context should allow you to identify more clearly than most the aspects of the past that can be discarded and those that must be retained to build a sustainable future. Use fact-based comparisons to prior successes to paint a vivid picture for others of what can be in the future. The real-life illustrations you create can build confidence and emotional engagement. You recognize that the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. Probe your friends and coworkers about actions that might have contributed to their current successes so you can help them make better choices in the future. This will help them put their decisions into an overall context. Read historical novels, nonfiction, or biographies. You will discover many insights that will help you understand the present. You will think more clearly. Compare historical antecedents and situations to your current challenge. Identifying commonalities may lead you to a new perspective or an answer to your problems. Seek out mentors who have a sense of history. Listening to their memories is likely to spark your thought process. Working with others who have context. During meetings, always turn to this person to review what's been done and what's been learned. Instinctively, he will want others to be aware of the context of decision-making. This person thinks in terms of case studies. When did we face a similar situation? What did we do? What happened? What did we learn? You can expect him to use this talent to help others learn, especially when the need for anecdotes and illustrations is important. When you introduce this person to new colleagues, ask them to talk about their backgrounds before you get down to business. Deliberative. You are careful. You are vigilant. You are a private person. You know that the world is an unpredictable place. Everything may seem in order, but beneath the surface you sense the many risks. Rather than denying these risks, you draw each one out into the open. Then each risk can be identified, assessed, and ultimately reduced. Thus, you are a fairly serious person who approaches life with a certain reserve. For example, you like to plan ahead so as to anticipate what might go wrong. You select your friends cautiously and keep your own counsel when the conversation turns to personal matters. You are careful not to give too much praise and recognition, lest it be misconstrued. If some people don't like you because you are not as effusive as others, then so be it. For you, life is not a popularity contest. Life is something of a minefield. Others can run through it recklessly if they so choose, but you take a different approach. You identify the dangers, weigh their relative impact, and then place your feet deliberately. You walk with care. Deliberative sounds like this. Dick H., film producer. My whole thing is to reduce the number of variables out there. The fewer the variables, the lower the risk. When I am negotiating with directors, I always start by giving in on some of the smaller points right away. Then once I have taken the smaller issues out of play, I feel better. I can focus. I can control the conversation. Debbie M., project manager. I am the practical one. When my colleagues are spouting all of these wonderful ideas, I am asking questions like, how is this going to work? How is this going to be accepted by this group or that group of people? I won't say that I play devil's advocate, because that is too negative, but I do weigh the implications and assess risk. And I think we all make better decisions because of my questions. Jamie B., service worker. I am not a very organized person, but the one thing I do without fail is double-check. I don't do it because I am hyper-responsible or anything. I do it to feel secure. With relationships, with performance, with anything, I am out there on a limb, and I need to know that the particular branch I am standing on is solid. Brian B., school administrator. I am putting together a safe schools plan. I am going to conferences, and we have 8 committees working. We have a district-wide review board, but I am still not comfortable with the basic model. My boss asks, when can I see the plan? And I say, not yet. I am not comfortable. With a big smile on her face, she says, gee, Brian, I don't want it to be perfect. I just want a plan. But she lets me be because she knows that the care I take now pays big dividends. Because of this pre-work, once the decision is made, it stays made. It doesn't unravel. Ideas for action. You have naturally good judgment, so consider work in which you can provide advice and counsel. You might be especially adept at legal work, crafting sound business deals, or ensuring compliance to regulations. Whatever your role, take responsibility for helping others think through their decisions. You can see factors that others may not see. You will soon be sought as a valuable sounding board. Explain your process of careful decision-making, that you highlight risk in order to take control and reduce it. You don't want others to misconstrue your deliberative talents for tentativeness or fear of action. You inspire trust because you are cautious and considerate about sensitive topics. Use these talents by taking on opportunities to handle delicate issues and conflicts. Rather than take foolhardy risks, you are apt to approach a decision cautiously. Trust your instincts when you believe that something is too good to be true. During times of change, consider the advantages of being conservative in your decision-making. Be ready to explain these advantages to others. Don't let anyone push you into revealing too much about yourself too soon. Check people out carefully before sharing confidential information. You naturally build friendships slowly, so take pride in your small circle of good friends. Partner with someone with strong command, self-assurance, or activator talents. Together, you will make many decisions, and these decisions will be sound. Temper the tendency of others to haphazardly move into action by declaring a consideration period before decisions are made. Your caution can serve to steer others away from folly and toward wise conclusions. Give yourself permission to withhold your opinion until you get all the facts and have an opportunity to ponder your stance. You are not someone who embraces change immediately. You are apt to reflect on possible outcomes so that all the angles are covered. As a deliberative person, you function as a brake for more impulsive types who wish to move quickly. Working with others who have deliberative. Ask this person to join teams or groups that tend to be impulsive. She will have a temporizing effect, adding much-needed thoughtfulness and anticipation to the mix. This person is likely to be a rigorous thinker. Before you make a decision, ask her to help you identify the landmines that may derail your plans. Respect the fact that this person may be private. Unless invited, do not push to become too familiar with her too quickly. And by the same token, don't take it personally if she keeps you at arm's length. Developer. You see the potential in others. Very often, in fact, potential is all you see. In your view, no individual is fully formed. On the contrary, each individual is a work in progress, alive with possibilities. And you are drawn toward people for this very reason. When you interact with others, your goal is to help them experience success. You look for ways to challenge them. You devise interesting experiences that can stretch them and help them grow. And all the while, you are on the lookout for the signs of growth, a new behavior learned or modified, a slight improvement in a skill, a glimpse of excellence or of flow where previously there were only halting steps. For you, these small increments, invisible to some, are clear signs of potential being realized. These signs of growth in others are your fuel. They bring you strength and satisfaction. Over time, many will seek you out for help and encouragement because on some level they know that your helpfulness is both genuine and fulfilling to you. Developer sounds like this. Marilyn Kay, College President. At graduation time, when a nursing student walks across the stage and gets her diploma, and about 18 rows back, some little kid is standing on a chair with a group yelling, "Yeah, Mom!" I love that. I cry every time. John M., Advertising Executive. I'm not a lawyer, doctor, or candlestick maker. My skills are of a different type. They have to do with understanding people and motives. And the pleasure I get is from watching people discover themselves in ways they never thought possible, and from finding people who bring to the table talents that I don't have. Anna G., Nurse. I had a patient, a young woman with lung damage so bad that she will have to be on oxygen forever. She will never have the energy or the strength to live a normal life, and I walk in and she's desperate. She doesn't know if she is short of breath because she is anxious or anxious because she is short of breath. And she's talking suicide because she can't work, can't support her husband. So I got her thinking about what she could do rather than what she couldn't. It turns out that she is very creative with arts and crafts. So I told her, look, there are things you can do, and if those things bring you pleasure, then do them. It's a place to start. And she cried and said, I have the energy to wash only one bowl. I said, that's today. Tomorrow you can wash two. And by Christmas, she was making all kinds of things, and selling them too. Ideas for action. Make a list of the people you have helped learn and grow. Look at the list often, and remind yourself of the effect you have had on the world. Seek roles in which your primary responsibilities include facilitating growth.